And then if y'all can be finding the book of Matthew, chapter 15, we're going to start there this morning. You're welcome. Thank you. I posted this on Facebook yesterday, and it's just something the Lord just really gave me. I was over here at the church just, you know, preparing for today and just, you know, seeing what God wanted me to talk about. And this is what we're at today. Desperation to deliverance. The three things I put on Facebook, and I just want to recap these this morning because I know it was from the heart of God as I was over here yesterday just meditating. It's out of our desperation we find our healing. It's out of our surrenderance we find our hope. And it's out of our humility we are exalted. Come, ask, receive. There's something about that song, Lord, I Need You, that I think all of us can take to heart. We've got to first admit we need Him. We've got to first say, Lord, I do need You. I need You in my life. I need You to show me what to do and how to do. And we have a generation, as we know, a world out there that doesn't really have a need for God, at least in their own head or in their own heart. They don't have a need for God. They're going through life's motions on their own, doing it their way. And, you know, God, the church, the Word of God, prayer, none of that's really part of their daily life. I'm okay without that. You know, but we need God, for without God, we would have nothing. We'd have no breath in our body. We'd have nothing. God is the creator of all things, not only the creator, but the sustainer of all things. I mean, this earth is right now, I know you can't feel it. If you can feel it, you got a medical condition. But the earth right now is spinning. It's spinning at a very high rate of speed. I can't remember the exact number, but it's a very high rate of speed that the earth is turning right now. And it's turning on an axis. It's turning kind of turning crooked, right? And it's spinning. It has spun that way since God said, let it spin. Tay's got a little toy. Actually, Melanie picked me one up because I liked it so much. We was at Logan's Eating one day, and I got playing with it. And I really liked it. And it's called a fidget spinner. Y'all know what those are? Anybody got one on them right now by chance? Okay, fidget spinner. And I've got Melanie picking me up one. It's really cool. It's just if you're can't sit still, it's good to be able to have one of those. And so you can just spin that thing right on your finger. It just spins. Flip it, just spins. That's what God has done. Spin. And it's going to spin and spin forever unless God says, let it not spin. He sustains everything. He's not just a creator. He's a sustainer. We need God. We need God more than just the day we're born. We need God more than the day we die. We need God in every day in between. We need God in every facet of our lives, financial, spiritual, physical, in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, personally, in our mind. We need the Lord. And this story is a beautiful story of a woman who really wasn't qualified to talk to Jesus. And let me tell you how things have changed. And we're going to read scripture on this. You may think, how could someone not be qualified to talk to Jesus? Remember, Jesus was sent to the house of Israel. He was sent to minister to the Jews, his people, the Jewish people. And the Gentiles were considered a lesser than race, a lesser than people. They were considered dogs. And dogs weren't like our dogs today. We love our dogs today. Gail loves his Daisy. Mom loves her Benji. Ashley loves her Molly. We love our dogs. We got it. But back in this generation of time, they were considered dangerous and unclean, and they roamed the streets wild. And so whenever someone addressed someone in the Bible as being like a dog, that was not a good thing. Like today, somebody says, you're just like your dog. Well, thank you. Because your dog may be better than you are. I don't know. But back then, it was an insult to call someone a dog. Complete insult. So here is Jesus, who is a Jew, who came to preach to the Jewish people, but he takes a journey outside of Israel, outside of Jerusalem, outside of the Jewish land, and he's going to a Gentile nation. Now, the beauty of this, and I want to make this point, is Jesus will meet you where you are at. He'll come to your house. He will come right to where you are, in the moment you are, in the season that you are. For people to say, oh God, can you hear my prayer? Yeah, dummy, I'm hearing you. I'm here. You ain't got to summons me like some headhunter in the jungles of Africa. Boom, 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 boom. Dude, come on, God, let the rain fall. No. It's fallen. The rain has fell. The Holy Spirit has came. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Ghost is now. He is forever present now. He's a close God right now to you today, here and forever. He's not distant. He's now. He meets you where you are at. All we must do is say, Lord, I need you. God, can you help me? Because we have a lot of people who think they're not qualified or good enough for God to help or for God to hear because of their sins. And by Rodney's own mouth, we all know now that Rodney's a big old sinner. So you know what? We know God hears Rodney's prayers. And he hears our prayers. We're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to say things all the time that maybe aren't right, or think things that aren't right, or do things that aren't right. But it doesn't unqualify us for the hand of God to meet us where we're at. There's not enough sin you could do to outrun the long arm of the law. Excuse me. That's a song. The long arm of God. There's not enough you can do. There's not enough skeletons in your closet that God will say, I ain't touching that. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've had the honor and the privilege and the burden of hearing many stories of people's lives, of hearing some stories that I had to cut off. Look, you ain't got to tell me all of this, okay? I'm not a Catholic priest. I can't forgive you of your sins. There's no Hail Mary to be made to me. Just take what you've got to God and let him fix you. And so there's not enough junk that God won't move in our lives. And here's a story of a woman. She was a Canaanite. Canaanite. A Gentile. Once again, the Jews thought the Canaanites were dogs. But here is Jesus, who takes a journey into this country where the Canaanites lived, and it wasn't an accidental journey. Jesus didn't lose his way. His GPS didn't mess up. Siri was right on target. He was walking exactly where he needed to be, and he knew where he was going. And he intentionally and he purposely went to this place to talk to these people, to offer them something that only the Jewish people had, because he was going out of the box. God will go out of the box for you, I promise. So let's pick up in verse 21, chapter 15, Matthew. Jesus went and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. These were two Gentile areas of people. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out. Now notice verse 21. I want to go back to 21. It says, Jesus went and departed. That was an intentional, purposeful journey. He wasn't just passing through. You ever had somebody come by your house? What are you doing here? Oh, just passing through. No, they weren't. They stalking you, and they came on purpose. They were on the other side of the county. Hey, let's go visit them. Okay, we'll just tell them we're passing through if they get, you know, all rattled about it. I know if y'all come to my house, you're probably not passing through. I mean, I'm 17 miles away from here. So he wasn't just passing through. He intentionally made an effort to go to this place because somebody needed him. And something was waiting on this person. And God was putting point A and point B together to bring a resolution. That's what God does. And I love Rodney's story about spaghetti. That's very true. You don't know. That sounds really weird. And for some of you that maybe aren't, you know, they're like, really? The Holy Spirit really spoke to someone to go tell them spaghetti. You don't know what someone needs to hear. Look at what Jesus did. They would have called him a loon, wouldn't they? He spit in his hands in the dirt and put his hands on somebody's eyes to heal their blindness. Melly would have stayed blind. Melly just would have stayed blind. Jesus, I love you, but you know what? You ever seen that show, Monk? Oh, I love Monk. Melly is so Monk. I'm telling you. She would have just stayed blind. But here's Jesus, gets dirt, spits in his hands, puts it on the eye. Jesus did a lot of things that are out of the box that people would have called him a loon for. Crazy. Why are you doing it that way? So we must understand the Holy Spirit does move in different ways, and it's not the way we plan sometimes. It's not a cookie-cutter way. Sometimes he moves in ways that don't make any sense. Just trust, just believe, and just obey, because you never know what someone is waiting to hear. And I'm glad Rodney gave Chuck kudos, because I know Chuck does do a lot of talking. Good talking. A lot of talking to other people about, you know, his journey and about, you know, his struggles, but also about his faith and what's helped him through his struggles. And we can all definitely do that. That's for sure. We can all do that. You know how many church cards I've left at restaurant tables for waitresses? Excuse me, servers. Don't offend nobody. Servers. How many cards I've left with a number. Sometimes I put a little note on the back of it too. I write a little special note. If I feel something, I'll write a little note, you know, on the back of it or whatever. But just sow a seed. We can all do that. So he made an intentional journey to this place. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, the son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." What gave this woman a right to approach this Jewish Messiah and ask him for anything? She was desperate. When you get desperate enough, it's kind of like, we'll use some things that we can tangibly attach to. Most of us in here, I'm not going to say that, some of us in here may be considered overweight. Okay? And there's only one way to fix that. Lose weight. Right? It's so hard. When you get your mindset and you get desperate enough, you will do what it takes to shed the weight. You will do what it takes. For you smokers out there, not judging, thank God I never picked it up. When you get desperate enough and you really make up your mind and you're like, you know what? I'm tired of putting these 50,000 government chemicals in my body that's got me hooked all my life. I'm tired of spending $5 a pack, $200 a month on something that's killing me. Just trying to put all that out there for y'all. I am going to lay it down, because I'm desperate enough for God to take this away. When we really, in our desperation, cry out to God, he helps us. But the old saying, we got to help ourselves, right? We got to help ourselves. And when we do our part, God always shows up. Out of her desperation, she felt like going to Jesus, saying, "Lord, can you have mercy on me? I'm a Canaanite. I'm a dog. You're the master. You're a Jew, but can you, God, have mercy on me?" But he answered her not a word. Jesus didn't respond to her. And his disciples came and besought him, Jesus, saying, "Send her away, for she cried for us." Isn't that like religious folks? I love what Rodney says, how we people look at Christians. And I hear that all the time. There's a lot of unchurched people. I mean, you know, 60% of America is unchurched right now. At least 60% of America is really unchurched. And I just want to tell you this. Coming to church twice a year doesn't make you churched. Okay, these surveys are really loose. To me, someone that's churched is here, I don't know, at least, you know, twice a month. Minimum, twice a month. Two services a month, I would call you. As your pastor, if you came regularly at least two times a month inside the church, I would say they're a churched person. Okay? If you make an appearance once every 3 months, I'm telling you, I ran somebody recently, me and Melon did. I don't know if Melon's with me, but I was somewhere, I ran to him, hadn't seen him in years. And I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And they introduced me to their friend. "This is my pastor." If I would have had a GFI right there, I'd have been like, "Say what? I'm your pastor? Man, when I seen you last, you used to have baby teeth. You had to finish middle school, and I'm your pastor, and you're 30 years old? Okay." I mean, really? So anyway, that's off the grid a little bit. But what Rodney said was true, that we need to, people use me all the time. I would come to church, but everybody like here lives like I do. We're not following people. We are following Christ. We are following the Word. And you know what? You live your life for you, not for anybody else. It don't matter if Doc's a heathen back there. You come to church. That's between Doc and God. Come get what you can get from God. It's like the altar. Well, we'll go to the altar, but nobody's up there. Well, do you want it bad enough or not? I've said this many times. If I had $100 bills across here, there wouldn't be nobody out of. If you could, Jazz be on that walker. I'm coming. Hang on. I mean, you'd be up here getting that money. I want that. When we want something bad enough, man, we're going to seek God till we get it. It's about desire. It's about real desire. This woman had a daughter who was possessed by a demon, and she was desperate for her to be set free. And she heard about Jesus. I'm sure his fame had gotten that far. She heard about him and heard he'd done miracles. So she approached him, not qualified at all. And sometimes as a church, we may do that. Not this church, because y'all are a great church. But other churches do this, right? Somebody walks in, and they're like, just like Jesus didn't respond to her. And the disciple says, send her away. Wow. What if someone walked in here, Chuck and Jewel walked in the first Sunday, and Ralph and Kay say, hey, Pastor, send him away. I don't like the way he looks at me. He ain't like me. I'm a blue-collar guy. He's an old prep. I don't want him in here. He don't know about real work. I'm a real working man. Send him away. He don't belong here. He don't look like me. His eyes ain't blue. His skin ain't white. His hair ain't blonde. I don't like him. Here, think about Jesus. Why didn't Jesus respond to her? As we read that, think about that. Why would Jesus, our beautiful, loving Savior, not respond to her? Let's move on and see why. Verse 24. But Jesus answered and said to his disciples, I am not sent, or to her, I'm not sent unto the, but to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, God sent me to minister to the Jews and to help and heal them, and you don't really qualify. That you're not the mission. You're not part of my mission. Boy, aren't you glad things changed? Aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad? And we'll read some scriptures verifying that you are qualified today based on God's word to receive his help. Then she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. I've got a demon-possessed daughter that needs deliverance. God, will you help me? I know I'm a Canaanite. I know I shouldn't be asking you. I know who you are and who I am. I know the position you are, the position I am. I know the order, the pecking order, God. I know it. But can you help me? It took a lot of faith to do this and a lot of strength to do this, to find Jesus. Remind me of the woman with the issue of blood. She shouldn't have been in the streets either, but she did because she needed help. He said in verse 26, I mean, think about this statement. This is just cold stone right here, isn't it? Jesus said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Whew. Boy, if I said that, y'all would never come back up in here on Sunday. Here comes Tony. Hey, Patrick, can you help me? I can't take from the children, Tony, and give to the dogs. Well, then, I'll just wag on out of here. You know what he was saying? He was saying that this covenant promise was for these people. And I can't take from the promised seed and give it to an unpromised seed. But then the next response of this Canaanite blew Jesus out of the water. Look what she said. She said, truth, Lord. She didn't deny it. God, I know who you are. And I know I'm a dog. I know I'm not part of the promised seed. I get that. I acknowledge that. To me, that tells us something too. We got to acknowledge our sin, don't we? We ain't got to act like it don't exist. You know, I've told this before, but, you know, I had a message one morning, and Virgil Short, before he passed away, met me at the door, shook my hand. This is really how a lot of us may feel. Virgil did it in a very humorous way, but I think a lot of us may feel this way. He shook my hand at the back door and said, Pastor, that was a great message you preached this morning talking about sin. You didn't touch me. It's exactly what he said. You didn't touch me. I think some of us feel that way. Now, he was being funny. I know I touched him because he brought it up. So I know he got touched. But some of us feel that way. She acknowledged, God, that is truth. I know I'm not part of your covenant plan. And I know you're the master. You're the Messiah. God, you're Jesus. I know I'm nobody. So I think the first step in our healing is that we acknowledge the supremacy of God and the littleness of us. Because God, I'm nothing, but you are everything. And God, I acknowledge that I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve to escape judgment. I don't deserve to be restored in the kingdom. I don't deserve any of that because of my sins and my failures and my flaws. We act like that we deserve something once we get saved and Holy Ghost filled and sanctified and all them good religious words we like to use, and all of a sudden we feel good about ourselves. But even after we're sanctified, we still do some things wrong. And we still don't deserve what Jesus gave to us. So we need to be like the Canaanite woman and saying, "Truth, Lord, I know I don't deserve a thing. You don't owe me nothing, God. But will you help me?" She showed humility. She wasn't arrogant. She didn't argue. She didn't snap her thumb and turn her neck. "Well then, God, forget you," and walk away. She submitted to his authority. She surrendered. God, here's what she said. Oh my gosh, what a statement. Some of you do this to your own dogs. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which falleth from the master's table." Oh my goodness. God, even the dogs get some scraps. Can you throw me a bone, Lord? Can you even they get something? Just give me a little bit of what you got. Give me something. Don't I have a place somewhere at the table? I mean, hopefully none of y'all set your dogs up at the dining room table with a fork and a spoon and a napkin and set them right there and they eat as part of the family. I mean, because I ain't coming to your house. I don't care how good your tacos are. I ain't coming. But many of you have your dog at the floor around your table, wagging its tail, and you'll throw it a little bit of something. You'll take a bite and throw it. We used to get on Ashley for that. She used to drive us. Ashley, quit feeding that dog. We don't feed the dog at the table. The dog ate yesterday. Don't feed it today. She'll throw them crumbs. She understood, God, there's still something for me in there. Can't I get something? And that response turned Jesus. Well, Jesus already knew, but what I'm saying is it turned his position. Look what he said. He answered her and said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou will." And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Long distance deliverance, right? Jesus wasn't even there. He just made her whole where he stood. She went back home and her daughter was unpossessed. She was delivered. She was set free. Because she realized, God, can you help me? Out of her desperation, she sought help. Out of her surrender, she found hope. She came, she asked, and she received what God had for her. A Canaanite, a woman that didn't deserve what Jesus gave her, like none of us do. This Canaanite came out of desperation, and she left with deliverance. You are qualified. Go to the next verse. But look how things have changed. This is, of course, Jesus, you know, died for all people, rose for all people. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Don't matter how you look. Don't be saying, "Well, they ain't part of my body. Look how they look. I don't like the color of their hair, the color of their skin, you know. They a Democrat, they a Republican, they a conservative, they're liberal, they're a Duke fan, they're a Carolina fan, you know, whatever it is, I don't like them. They're not part of my body. You know, they're not part of my body because, well, I don't, they raise their hands. That makes me uncomfortable. You know, and they sometimes they get happy and dance, and I don't like that. And let's go the other way. Well, they never show no emotion at all. I don't want nobody like that. Look, we're one body, and each part makes a difference. Cut one of your feet off, you got another one, what's the big deal? See how that works out for you. All right, cut one finger off. Well, I got nine more, but you sure gonna miss that one, it's gone. take one hair off your head. I know for a fact. I would take a hair right now from anybody. I don't care, as long as it stayed in place. Every part of our body has a function, and we have been baptized into one body. There's no more separation. We aren't Canaanites and Jews anymore. We're not Samaritans and Jews anymore. We are the children of God with one heavenly Father, and we are all part of His kingdom and His family forevermore, because the blood equalized all humanity, every race, every creed, every language, every nation. It equalized it, and we are one body, period. There's not a separate God for certain people. There's not a different spirit for certain denominations. We are one body, one spirit baptized us into this family. He goes on to say, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, we're one. Whether we bond or be free, we're one. We have all been made to drink into one spirit. When the Holy Ghost came down at Pentecost and filled that upper room, and they began to talk in languages that nobody, that they couldn't believe they could understand these different languages. And what has happened? They've gone mad. They've gone crazy. They're drunk. No. They've been filled with the promise that Jesus says, I will not leave you alone. I will send you a comforter. And guess what? That Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Acts, that it is it goes on and is offered and available to every generation, to as many as call upon the Lord. Every generation, every race, every creed. It doesn't matter. It's one Jesus. It's one spirit. It's one movement. It's one thing. We're one family. It's not like it was here. Go to the next verse. That the this is Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be. That's now. Look, all of us in here, I think, are. Is there any? There's no natural born Jews in this church, right? Natural born Jews. Don't be afraid. We ain't gonna hurt you. Okay. Are you? Jazz, we talked about that actually. Yes, Jazz is. In fact, yes, Jazz actually gave me a little something to hold on to. I've got it in my office back there. He gave it to me at the nurse home. Remember, said, hang on to this for me. And it's a Jewish thing. So the only one that would qualify before would be Jazz. We'd all be lost. Good job, Jazz. But aren't you glad the rest of us Gentiles, we are now fellow heirs of the same body. So I now am under the same covenant promises that God had in the beginning for the Jewish people. We now have the same inheritance. And we are partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. We're one. The promises now are to us. So the whole point of these verses is to let you know this. Yes, you are qualified to come to God and ask for help. Doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or how bad you've lived, because people that say, I'll come to God when I get it straightened out, is a ridiculous statement. No offense, it's ridiculous. You don't go to the doctor after you're well. You go to the doctor when you're sick. You don't go to a lawyer not to sue somebody. Hey, I just want to come out and see you. I'm not suing nobody today. How much would that be? You go when you are suing somebody. You don't go to the grocery store when you got a pantry full of food. You go when you need food. So if you need help, you come to God then. I'm just so embarrassed. You don't think God knows what you're doing? It ain't like you're hiding anything from God because you don't admit you need Him to help you. Or, I'm too ashamed. Or, I can't talk to God because I'm so ashamed by what I've done. The Bible says His eyes behold all good and evil in your life. He sees everything you're doing. He already knows. Don't be ashamed. You ought to thank God that you have this resource to come to and say, Lord, help me. I'm desperate and I need deliverance, God, in my life. I'm tired of being bound, tired of being sick. I'm tired of being diseased and plagued by what's in my life. I want my chains to be set free. God, will you have mercy on me, O son of David? And he will say, yes, absolutely. I will help those who call upon my name. I will help you. You are qualified to come to him. The Bible says in Hebrews that we should approach the throne of God with boldness. With boldness, with confidence is what it really means. With confidence. Just don't think God hears me, Pastor. I pray. He don't care. He hears and he cares. And we get like this Canaanite woman, desperate enough to break through the boundaries of what's holding us back to get what we need. You know, I've said this, I think this many times. And I know it's a little bit, maybe for some people it's funny, I don't know. But, you know, we all every week have something that we need in our lives. We all have something we need. And so whenever we say, hey, let's come up front, let's pray. If you need God, let's ask for something. And you know, most weeks we have a few people trickle up, but sometimes we don't have anybody or it's very few. What's holding us back? The devil will talk to us, say, you know what? You're okay where you're at. This don't affect you. You're okay where you're at. When we're desperate enough that I want God more than I care about what anybody else thinks or says, I'll get what I need. Out of our desperation is when we find our healing. Whenever we don't know we're sick, it's hard to be healed. When we don't know we're poor, it's hard to be rich, right? I mean, when we don't know something, it's hard to find that. But when we know we're broken, we really know we're broken, and only God can repair us, then we'll seek his face. Next verse, Brendan. 46:1, this is the last verse. We'll close out this verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of trouble. Man, he's right now. He's right here. And he wants to help you. Out of desperation, this woman came to Jesus. And her persistence of saying, God, can't you help me at all? Can't you help me at all? And when she did that, yes, your faith has made your daughter whole because you believed I had what you needed. And he does. You may think God can't help my situation. It's, you know, he can't help me. Yes, he can. I'm not saying your storms will pass away maybe today, but I do know that God can give you peace today, that as the storm is blowing, you're okay. As the storms are blowing and the water is rising, you know what? God, you're in this with me, so I'm okay. You're in it with me. I'm going to get through it. Day by day, step by step, I'm going to get through it. God loves you as you are right now. He loves you how you look. He loves you regardless. But if there's things in your life that you need deliverance from, that you've just been hoping will go away, just somehow magically will just go away. There's things we need God to take away from us. There's things we need the power of God to set us free from. There's things that are strongholds in our lives that can't be set free any other way but a touch of God. And he has that available for you today in this place right now as you are. But you've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to humble myself and acknowledge that I need help. I need your help. There's something about humility that is hard for many people. Because we think when we're humble that it means that we're weak, that we can't figure the answers out, that we're not strong. It doesn't mean that at all. You know, as a man, I try to be a man for my family, a man for my wife. And, you know, I really try to be that man and step up and try to take burdens off my wife and try to be there for her and try to, you know, just take care of things the best that I can. In fact, we had an incident at a retail store last week, and this guy was rude to my wife, and I went and let him know it. Oh, yeah. I didn't say anything ugly. I don't think I diminished the light for Jesus. I just stood up for my wife. She approached him and spoke and said, excuse me, sir, excuse me. He totally ignored her and didn't respond. See, he ignored me the first time, too, and I let that go. But then when he ignored her, that ain't going to happen. Have my woman. You don't ignore her. I went up to him. I said, excuse me. I said, I don't appreciate you ignoring my wife. And I tell you what, I said, I don't appreciate you ignoring my wife. She called you. You didn't even acknowledge her. You kept your back turned to her. That was rude. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to help you with it. I said, never mind now. I'm going somewhere else. You've lost my business. And walked out the door. When he went out the door, I saw him come up front. I turned around. He's coming up front trying to find me. I'm gone. I have no idea what that had to do with anything I was saying. Was I tying it into something? Oh, thank you, yes. Trying to be a man for my wife. Thank you. Trying to be a man for my wife and a man for my family. But you know what? There's many times I depend on Melanie as my wife to help me. And I'm not so proud I can't talk to her and say, hey, you know, she hears all my dirty laundry. She hears all of, she knows all of my, she knows when I'm weak. And I'm okay to, you know, even though I'm her man, and there's times I don't always share things. There's times I'm bad on things she don't know about. But there's times I do go to her and I say, hey, you know what? And she sees that. But you know what? She helps me. She really does. She helps me. Melanie helps ground me in my life. She's my grounder. She's my ground wire. I'm the hot wire. She's the ground wire. And she helps ground me. She really does. And I appreciate that. I'm not too proud to go to her and share and say, you know what? I'm just, you know, man, I'm battling. We shouldn't be too proud to go to God and say, God, I'm battling. And I need your help. God, I need your help. Remember what 1 Chronicles 7:14, I believe, says? If my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, pray, turn to me, you know, I will heal their land. If we would turn unto God, acknowledge that he is God, then he will heal our land, our life, our thoughts, our soul, our hurts, our brokenness. Doesn't mean everything goes away. I'm telling you, don't let no Christian tell you when you get saved, everything's hunky-dory. You're going through the woods, you know, skipping along the meadows, sniffing daisies. No, life's hard. Life still happens. But I'm not fighting alone no more. Man, I got a God who's there in every step of the way, good and bad, high and low. Every season, he's there. If you're a Canaanite today and you need help, he's here. Desperate. I've got a song for you to sing, man, if you'll make your way up here. It's As I Am. I already got it pulled up on the computer, so. I'm going to have Melanie sing this song. It's a beautiful song called As I Am. I'm going to open this altar today for you to come. And you may say, I don't understand the altar thing, Pastor. You know, I just don't understand. I can pray God. You say God's right here, and he is right there. But think about this once again. If you go to Logan's for lunch today and they call your number and you don't move, guess what? You don't eat. Ain't that kind of how it works? Your buzzer, brrr, you just stay there, brrr, follow me. I'm good here. No, you're not. No steak, no tater, no salad. You stuck in the lobby. Don't stay stuck in the lobby this morning. Make your way up if there's a need in your life that you're desperate for breakthrough. Once again, I'm not saying that everything magically changes today in your situation, but it's the beginning of a change. It's the beginning of your deliverance by giving it to God and saying, God, I want to walk away from this altar today knowing I've given this to you, and God, I'm expecting and waiting and believing for my deliverance as I'm desperately bringing this to you. As she sings this song, come give it to God today. Talk to him. Be the Canaanite woman and press your way to the front and say, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. I need help.
They say I don't belong. You love me as I am. When courage is hard to find and I don't have the strength to try, you love me as I am. Just to love me as I don't have the strength to try. You love me as I am. As I am in all my weakness. As I am in all my faults. You came running like my champion. Just to love me as I am.
Yes, he loves you like you are, church. Let him have it today. It's time to stop running. Time to give it all up right now.
When envy invades my heart and tears it all apart, you love me. Came running like my champion, just to love me as I am. Somehow you see
yes.
the best
yes,
in me
Lord.
When I just see the worst. Your faith in me is amazing. It's more than I deserve. As I am in all my weakness, as I am in all my faults, you came running like my champion just to love me as I am. You came running like my champion just to love me, just to love me.
I want to do something before we close. I know I just feel led to do this. I was sitting here and just felt prompted to do this. You don't have to participate, okay? But I feel led to do this. I'm going to pass this mic around. I want you to pass it to every person in the sanctuary, and I want you to say these words in the microphone. I am loved by God, okay? I want you to say it. Pass it. I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I love my God.
I am loved by God.
I'm by God, loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I love my God.
I am loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I
I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
Loved by God.
I'm loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God. And Hunter's loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I love my God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
Love my God and thank Him every day for another day.
I am loved by God.
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 I am loved by God. I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I'm loved by God. I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God.
I am loved by God. We are all loved by God, and God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and isn't that a good thing?
And I am loved by God.
Oh, did we miss you? Where were you at? Oh, okay, good girl.
I am loved by God.
Every one of y'all, we had 100% participation. That is awesome, guys. Every one of you participated. Awesome. Thank you. I just felt impressed that for you to say that, to know I am loved by God. Man, thank y'all so much. All righty, Chuck and Jewel, come up here, and Layton, come up here. Ushers, come up here. Give you a chance to show how much you love God. Oh, man. Yes. Yes, Don.
For many years, I was part of the board of directors for the church, and I'm going to say what James would never say. Monday through Saturday, the church is a business. Sunday, it's a house of worship. And just like many businesses, sometimes a need arrives that's not budgeted. If a church runs out of ministry budget. Well, a need arose a couple weeks ago, actually, and I'm going to ask that you reach into your other pocket when you don't reach in normally and see if you can come up with a little extra this morning. Church has a real need, pastor has a real need, and it was not a budget. So if you could find a way, it would be very helpful for the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate you saying that. Father, we thank you for this time of worship we have had. We thank you for the move you have had. We thank you, God, that your mercy is greater than our sins and our failures. We're thankful, God, that in our desperation you hear our cry and you help us. We know, God, you've touched us today. We know that we are leaving here with your hand of mercy upon us. We pray you bless the seed today as it's sown, as you see what it does, God. It continues the work of the kingdom, the eternal work. And we thank you for that, God. Bless every hand that sows in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.